It is just coming up 7 minutes past one now. The first of the big presidential debates, very consequential ones, began at about 11 o'clock this morning our time, wrapped up a little while ago. Donald Trump and sitting President Joe Biden. I'll talk to TJ in the US in just a moment. Here's just a little of the beginning of the debate.
With the U.S. facing trillion-dollar deficits and record debt, why should top earners and corporations pay even less in taxes than they do now?
Because the tax cuts spurred the greatest economy that we've ever seen just prior to COVID. And even after COVID, it was so strong that we were able to get through COVID much better than just about any other country. But we spurred, that tax spurred. Now, when we cut the taxes, as an example, the corporate tax was cut down to 21% from 39%, plus beyond that. We took in more revenue with much less tax, and companies were bringing back trillions of dollars back into our country. The country was going like never before, and we were ready to start paying down debt. We were ready to start using the liquid gold right under our feet, the oil and gas right under our feet. We were going to have something that nobody else has had. We got hit with COVID. We did a lot to fix it. I gave him an unbelievable situation with all of the therapeutics and all of the things that we came up with. We gave him something great. Remember, more people died under his administration, even though we had largely fixed it.
President Biden, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this question about the national debt.
He had the largest national debt of any president in a four-year period, number one. Number two, that $2 trillion tax cut benefited the very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 billion, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on Social Security. They're going to destroy Social Security. This man is going to single-handedly destroy Social Security. These millions and millions of people coming in, they're trying to put them on Social Security. He will wipe out Social Security. He will wipe out Medicare. So he was right in the way he finished that sentence, and it's a shame.
There you go. That was just near the start of the debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump today. TJ O'Hara, himself an independent candidate for the presidency back in 2012, good friend of ours, was watching it all. G'day, TJ. What did you make of it?
Well, Greg, you were better off than I was because I actually watched the debate and listened to them. And I will tell you this, it's not as interesting as the Maroons and the Blues in the State of the Origin series. I'd much rather be watching that series than this. It was an embarrassment, and I'll take you through why. But let me give you a good point. It was on CNN. We talked to a few of your listeners last night about the concern about the balance. I thought the facilitators, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, actually did a fairly good job.
Right.
The cutting off of the mic didn't take away from it. It actually seemed like it created a little bit more of an appropriate constraint. There was some talking over, but not a lot. So I thought the scenario worked out fairly well. I thought the two facilitators did a good job, but it was a little bit like watching a good coach being given bad players and expecting it to be a great game. The losses were, I thought the former president, Trump, did a reasonable job, at least by the standards normally associated with him, for about two-thirds of the debate. He stayed away from personal attacks to a degree, at least as much as you could possibly expect him to do. Everything he had done in the past, and his focus was more in the past than the future, was, of course, the greatest of all time and the best of all things.
Yes.
The bombastic personality was there, but Trump is Trump, you know, so you expect that. About two-thirds of the way through, I think even he became bored. And he started to ignore questions and just bashed President Biden for how terrible a president he's been. Now, so that was a loss in my mind. It would have been nice had he been able to sustain the decorum that he showed when he first came out. Mm-hmm. But that went away after the first hour, and the last half hour degenerated from that point. Second loss. President Biden walked out gingerly, would be a polite term to use. He looked disoriented, almost had a vacant stare, very disjointed in his thoughts. He was given some questions that could have been layup from a Democratic platform perspective, and he either didn't capitalize on those advantages or he would stumble through them and become disoriented and start talking about something else. The aftermath of the debate was so bad that on CNN, MSNBC, and other networks, the consensus was there's going to be question of his competency to go forward. Mm. Now, that's an embarrassment for the United States. I think you've been able to recognize he has some cognitive issues. I've been honest about it. I think he's had some challenges, but the media hasn't. And even the favorable media outlets were saying he needs to rethink whether he's going to be the candidate or not. Mm. And that brings me to what I would say the third loss was.
Yeah, please.
RFK Jr. wasn't included. And he did his own debate. I obviously was watching the one I was going to review with you and your audience, so I'll review that tomorrow. But he would have hopefully provided a more coherent perspective. He may have actually answered the questions factually rather than egotistically. And to give you an idea of how bad it became at one point, the two parties began pushing against each other about their golf handicaps.
Oh, just listen to this. TJ, listen to this.
I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way, and I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards.
Well, TJ, we've been waiting 250 years for a U.S. presidential election to come down to the crucial issue of golf. It's arrived.
See, you have a better chance of winning than these two, I think.
Vote won the golfer.
Yeah, I'm voting for Scottie Scheffler, and if I need to throw an Australian into the mix, I'm probably going with Cam Smith.
Tell me this. Does anything change as a result of what you've seen today?
You know, based on the limited overview that I saw from what are predominantly liberal-friendly media outlets, there's a serious question of whether President Biden is going to be the nominee. Mm. Pushing back, they're saying that there are 30 major donors who basically control the party, and the implication was they're going to start calling each other, the money's going to start drying up, and so forth. He was... whatever they used to get him to be able to read through the State of the Union didn't seem to kick in until the latter third. I actually thought he had a better end than he had at the beginning, but there were times when his answers weren't even relevant to the question that was being asked. Now, Trump started doing that at the end himself as he started bashing Biden on almost every issue, that he personalized it rather than answering some simple questions.
Okay.
But it was not a solid performance for the president. Now, you had my governor, and I'm hesitant to call him my governor.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
The wings beforehand, pacing back and forth as the heir apparent. It was almost like vultures circling. And he's probably the only person that may have been delighted by what transpired tonight, but they're talking 25th Amendment, fitness for office.
Wow. The
interesting thing from my perspective will be the media pundits who have been shilling on the issue of cognitive capability until tonight. What are they going to say tomorrow? Are any of them going to recognize, like there's a host of a morning show, Joe Scarborough. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
Yeah.
But he has, as recently as 1 or 2 months ago, saying this is the best version of Joe Biden in his 50 years in office.
Goodness,
he's the sharpest and sharp like a tack. you know, his press secretary always goes out every day and tells us that no one can get done what he can get done in an hour. And tonight, it was just a meltdown on national television.
All right, mate.
So where they go from here, I don't know.
Hey, TJ, that's been fantastic, mate. We really appreciate that. And it's going to get interesting. And I know Sophie will stay in touch. You take care in the meantime.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you for having me on, and go Maroon.
Yeah, well said. Game three. You got it. TJ O'Hara from the United States. It's 18 past 1 o'clock. This is 4BC. I'm Greg Carey for Sophie, who is back Monday week.